out of right now. This should be just about the same. I'd like to pick up my voice and leave out the background, but I'm not sure that's going to work because there's so darn much background. Somewhere in the back of the house, somebody's playing Vietnamese music over the radio. We live, oh, lucky, lucky us, we live on the main street of town, which means that all night long and all day long, big deuce and a half trucks, tanks, motorcycles, motor scooters, automobiles, Land Rovers, bicycles, children, sea clothes, good humor men, fuzz salesmen, all kinds of critters, and every kind of machine is going to go rolling by. I notice that my efforts are not succeeding. I played back just a little bit of this, and the radio is still in the background, and I'm sure occasionally we will get the street noises too. They haven't stopped all day long enough for you to get anything done, so I'm sure they're not going to stop now. Maybe, though, if we're lucky, you can hear a shot. Because it's night, it's 8:30 on July 15th, Wednesday, and according to my every day is a holiday calendar, today is get ready for tomorrow day, and that's what we've been doing. Anyway, as I was about to say, you might be able to hear a shot. Because it's night, and this night is the time that the fighting starts, or shooting, or whatever it is they happen to be doing for the evening. I haven't noticed anything so far tonight, but I don't usually notice it anyway. When a big cannon booms out, then I manage to sit up and take a little bit of notice, but otherwise, if it's just routine shooting, I don't pay much attention to it. You know, we really didn't get any shooting in Vanuatu at all. But I suppose I told you last year when we had our language training in Metau, we went to bed every night to the sound of guns. And it's just about the same right here in Tanan, which is the province right next to Metau, between Metau and Saigon. And as I think I told you in the letter, one of the worst provinces in the country as far as security goes. Well, that doesn't need to be any problem. You don't need to worry about that. Because the troops have cleared this province. Well, the road runs, the main highway, Route 4, runs right down the center of the province. Sort of the center of the province. And the government troops, Arvin, have gone along and cleared the whole area. They've made the highway secure from one end of the province to the other. And the troops are patrolling the highways. Now, this doesn't mean that they're lined up on each side of the highway and arm to arm. We don't see them unless... Oh, once in a while we see them on the sides of the highway, but they're back, off the edge of the highway. But supposedly the highway is secure. And there's a lot of traffic on it. There's just tons of traffic on that highway every day. It's the main route into the Delta. It goes all the way from Saigon, clear down to the farthest towns in the Delta. And there still is one bad stretch on that highway, I understand. But other than that, it's pretty good and can be traveled. First thing in the morning, it's kind of bad. Not in this province, but in other provinces. It's kind of bad because first thing in the morning is when you're liable to hit the landmines that have been planted during the night. You know, this must really sound terrible to you, but we're sort of used to all this sort of thing. So we talk about landmines and grenades and helicopters and small arms and mortars and rounds and all sorts of things. Just like it's every day, along with our conversations about diarrhea, malaria, hepatitis, cheerful little things like that. Last night, Harlan Gross, who is the IVF fellow now in this province, came over and we were having a little conversation about that, how at home, if one has diarrhea, one just doesn't mention it, and you just sneak off to the John all by yourself, but over here, it's just an everyday topic of conversation, and if you have diarrhea, you announce it first thing in the morning, and everybody knows about it, and then everybody talks about how often they get diarrhea, and what they get diarrhea from, and when was the last time they had diarrhea, and how seriously they get diarrhea, and then whether they've ever had amoebic dysentery or not, and of course amoebic dysentery is a different thing altogether than diarrhea, but it really is funny. Between diarrhea and the kind of John that you have in your house, whether it's Western or Asian, how well you like one or the other. We really have some conversations. I don't know how I'm ever going to fit into society when I get home where people just don't talk about diarrhea, and most people don't even have it very often. Well, I don't have it very often either, but Lily thinks I have it all the time, just because I get it, oh, maybe a touch of it every 3 or 4 weeks, just a touch, a little bit in the morning or something like that. But I was tickled because the other day Lily got diarrhea, and she hasn't had diarrhea before since I've known her, and she all the time brags about how she just never gets diarrhea, but she had diarrhea and she had it for 2 days. So now she just can't say anything about me anymore because she gets diarrhea too. Say, speaking of diarrhea, it always makes you think about food, and there's always some food that causes diarrhea, I guess. But anyway, we've really got ourselves a good cook. She's a gal about 20 years old, 21. It's hard to tell. Whoops, there goes a truck. It's hard to tell how old she is, but she's up at the crack of dawn, about 5 o'clock every morning, getting all the clothes washed before breakfast. Then she gets breakfast. Well, this morning I wasn't very happy with her breakfast because we had soup. And it was soup that was left over from last night. So, put my foot down, told her I'd eat soup and I'd eat leftovers, but I wouldn't eat soup at breakfast. Vietnamese like to have soup at breakfast. In fact, it's one of their best breakfasts. And there goes one of the various kinds of salesmen on the street. Anyway, they have this stuff called pho. Now, pho is spelled P-H-U with a little sort of a question mark over it, and it's pronounced pho. And when the pho salesman goes by, he screeches pho in the middle of the night, or the middle of the day, or whenever it is he has to go out, but it sounds like he's getting sick or something. Oh, what's the funniest word? I have to tell you, someday I'll go into detail about pho stands and pho salesmen, because they certainly are a picturesque sort of thing. The weather has been beastly hot, absolutely awful. Step outside the house and you're dripping. I think I mentioned it the other night. I went to get my picture taken, and just standing in the studio, perspiration was rolling off my upper lip into my mouth. Awful feeling. Just standing there, I wasn't doing anything. When you do something, you really perspire. Harlan has trouble with that, too. That's one thing. We poor Americans all come over here and suffer from the same thing. I guess we don't really suffer all that much, though. I keep stopping this to check it. And obviously, every background noise in the place is coming through. I just don't know quite what to do about it because it's just horribly noisy here. And as far as I can tell, I can't make it any quieter unless I wait until the middle of the night. And I not only won't be very good for recording at that time, but there will probably be noise then too. I really haven't had very much sleep since I've been here. Not because I haven't been in bed, but because we don't have mosquito nets up and the mosquitoes bite all night long. And then because at about 4:30 or 5 in the morning, this traffic starts to get really heavy out in front of our house. And it's so noisy, it sounds like it's coming right through the bedroom. Which reminds me of another thing. You said something about, in a letter that, in the picture that I sent you of Lily and I, that I looked like I had big bags under my eyes. Oh, there was a shot. I hope you heard it. Anyway, I don't know, maybe you've just forgotten. It's been so long since I've been home, but you know, one night without 8 or 10 hours of sleep and my eyes have dark circles under them. In fact, I just seem to be ordinarily a little bit dark under the eyes anyway. And for that picture, I had put on eye makeup, which might have made a difference. But I'm here to tell you that I just don't look any different than when I left, except for one thing. There is one thing that's different than when I left, and that is that I have long toenails now. All the Vietnamese, since they wear sandals and never really wear shoes, have long, pointed, beautiful toenails. So mine are long, and they're sort of half-pointed, and they're not beautiful at all. But I keep them painted now. I almost always have nail polish on my toenails, and they're long and claw-like. They look better than my fingernails do, I'll have to say that for them. But they really don't look all that hot. My goodness, I do hope you don't have to play this thing where anybody else can hear it. Not exactly the tea time conversation. We just don't have tea time conversations over here. We don't have tea time either. We have a little chem shop here in town. Now, chem
is the Vietnamese word for ice cream. And Vietnamese ice cream isn't good, but it's cold, and it's sort of ice creamy, so we've only been down once since I've been here, but there is a little place to go and have ice cream. They bring it in itty-bitty teeny dishes, and you get 3 scoops to a dish, and they're itty-bitty tiny scoops, just a little bit larger than a nickel in diameter. And you can have, oh, they had 3 kinds the other night when we were there. They had chocolate, and they had coconut, and they had durian. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of durian or not, but it's a fruit. It's kind of a large fruit. It's about the size, or roughly the size of a cantaloupe, only it's different shape. It's long, and it's green, and it's bumpy on the outside, but it smells to high heaven. It smells before it's cut open. It smells worse after it's cut open, and it tastes just like it smells. Well, maybe it doesn't taste quite as bad as it smells, but it just smells awful. A lot of times on Air Vietnam, people will have durian on the plane, taking it from Saigon home. And it just smells up the whole plane. It's almost unbearable to smell durian. You can almost not get past the smell in order to taste it. And the ice cream, when you have the ice cream, Lily always eats durian ice cream. That's her favorite. And when she sits at the same table, I can smell the ice cream that she's eating, even though I'm not eating it myself. It's awful, foul stuff. But we do have some good fruits out there. Oh, tonight we had for dinner a melon. That was, except for watermelon. That's the first melon I've had. And I guess it was like cantaloupe, a little bit like cantaloupe, except it was shaped sort of like a squash. And it looked sort of like a squash, and it felt sort of like a squash. And it wasn't very good, I didn't think. So Lily thought it was just wonderful. And she would dip it in sugar. I tried it, each piece dipped in sugar too, but it just wasn't good enough to eat after having had melon at home. I didn't like the texture very well. Let's see, what else did we have for dinner tonight? We had coleslaw, which, except for in Saigon, is the first coleslaw I've had in this country. It was delicious. I just love it. And then we had a sort of a stew with gravy and pieces of pork and carrot and tomato. It's really kind of funny. This morning, I was painting the doors on the john in the shower, or the bathroom. And the cook was fixing lunch, and she had some green peas. It's just been months, absolutely months, since I've had green peas. And I thought, oh boy, we're having green peas for lunch. So lunch came and no green peas. I can't remember now what we did have for lunch, but oh, some Vietnamese food, but it wasn't green peas. So after lunch, I saw the green peas again, and they were sitting in a little pan by the stove, and it would look like they were either going to be heated or they had been heated. And so I thought, well, we must be having green peas for dinner. So tonight dinner came out, and there weren't any green peas in the stew. So I couldn't stand it any longer. I told Lily to ask her what happened to the green peas. So Lily asked us what happened to the green peas, and she had purchased some. I don't know if that was a shot or a backfire. Anyway, she had purchased them, and they didn't seem to be quite ripe enough, so she didn't think we could eat them, so she cooked them and ate them herself. I was really hungry for green peas, so I told her to be sure to get some more because I'd like to eat some. That must be a shot, and it sounds almost right in town. My goodness, things are getting close. It's really not anything to get excited about. VC never get into the towns at night, unless they're going to throw a bomb. But there's never any kind of warfare in town. But those shots do sound so loud that you'd swear they were right in town when they're not. There's another one. Just went off. That was something, some heavier kind of weapon than a small rifle or something. A mortar or something like that. I don't really know an awful lot about these weapons or the difference in sounds. But you can tell the difference between small arms and large weapons. Doesn't even take brains to tell that. Well, tomorrow we have a big day. The home agent. These are really close. Anyway, the home agent, Mrs. Liu, is planning a training session. And she's going to take almost 50 women out traipsing around different hamlets tomorrow to show them how to build rice husk stoves and how to plant mushrooms. Then the next day, we're going to take those same 50 women and go to another province to hung out. Next week, she's going to have 12 women and give them a week-long training session. On one of those days, I have to present some training on child care. And for me, this will be the first time doing anything in front of a group with an interpreter, and none of them will be able to speak English, so I'll have to do it strictly through Lily. I think it's probably not going to be very successful, but I guess it doesn't make that much difference. It'll be new and interesting for them to have an American around. It certainly is new and interesting for everybody to have an American around. These kids just about drive me right out of my mind. You can't go anywhere without dozens of kids howling after you. They say, "By me, by me, by me," which means American woman. And they say, "Okay, okay, hello, okay, hello." So you could just go out of your mind. It's awful, absolutely terrible. Everybody hates it. And the longer you're here, the worse you hate it at first, you think. Oh, aren't they cute, those dirty, gubby little urchins? And then, after they pull on you and beat on you and throw rocks at you and try to take your watch off and pull the hair on your arm and scratch you and look at you and follow you, finally decide they're not so cute after all. They're apparently completely undisciplined, and that's what seems to be the problem. But they're cute when they're babies, and they're pretty nice when they get older if they manage to outlive this horrible stage of growing up. Believe me, that's worse here in Vietnam than it is in the States. Oh, but it was interesting. When we were at Tachikala and we rode the bus around the air base, and all the American kids were on the bus. My goodness, do they talk a lot, and are they enthusiastic about things? It was amazing. We'd just about forgotten what American kids sounded like. Really funny. Well, I've got to get this back on. You're missing all the shooting. You're missing all the excitement. I don't know exactly what the excitement is. Maybe I'll find out tomorrow. Maybe I won't. I usually forget to ask in the morning if there really was a battle going on. But they do have a practice range just across the bridge right out of town. And quite often that's it. Oh, here comes the cook. She's all excited. She's going out to see what's going on. I think it must be a little bit worse tonight than usual. Now, this is sure to get you all unsettled. Just because you're listening to this tape and there's some shooting going on. But it really isn't anything at all to worry about. It just doesn't make me one speck nervous. In fact, I quite enjoy it. There were going to be some VC demonstrations out on the highway today. We had information and I almost drove out to see them. Then I decided maybe that wasn't such a smart thing to do, but I would like to have done it. Marge wants a VC flag, and Earl Young has a VC hat, helmet, that they wear. It's a camouflage helmet. And I may manage to get myself a souvenir from the VC, other than the one I already have. I do have one small souvenir that I'm going to have to bring home with me, which will remind me that there were VC in Vietnam. We got a message the other day from Maxwell Taylor. Came out to all the Americans, and as far as I could tell, it was just like any other message that comes out. I don't know if things are going to change much around here or not. Perhaps they will. Then again, they may not. Things seem to pretty much go along in a status quo. Once in a while, the VC get a little advantage. Once in a while, Arvin has a little advantage. But mostly, it's just status quo, and things keep plugging along. Clark Davis, who is the only IVSer still left in Denver, too, now came down last weekend. Naturally, I had to ask them how things were up there, and they captured 15 hamlets, VC has, in a district called Lac Tien, which is one where we used to go to work. And so 15 of those hamlets are VC, and I saw another fellow from them do it. And he says the VC are about 5 km out of town. Well, that's nothing too new. And it really doesn't mean too much, and he's sort of an alarmist anyway. How many of these people are alarmists? They just love to get all shook up about things and try to convince you that things are terribly dangerous, when most of us just don't worry about it all that much. I don't know quite what I'm going to fill up the other side of this tape with. I don't think this side is any too interesting. But if it's the top, the other side is probably going to be worse. I could perhaps tell you a little bit more about my work, except I haven't done enough of it yet to really be into it. One sort of interesting thing is that every Thursday, except tomorrow, because of this other thing, but on Thursdays they go to the prison. And the women give a demonstration. They go to this prison and demonstrate to women, and most of the women are VC prisoners. Marge's interpreter, Aang, always is amazed because the VC looks like everybody else and they behave like everybody else. I guess she thought they were going to have two heads and be cavorting wildly around in some strange fashion. But they are just like any other person. You can't possibly tell the difference between a VC and between somebody who is not a VC unless they're just shooting at you or something. Since nobody has shot at me, I haven't had that problem to worry about. Maybe I ought to turn on the radio so you can get some of this beautiful music firsthand.